Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Ready? See if you can identify these five clips in the order that they are played. It could be from a song, a movie, a TV show, or something else. But if it's coming from this podcast, then you know that it's from Generation X. Listen closely. Good luck.
Oh, Captain, my Captain.
Broadcast over any FM car radio.
Hey, good looking. We'll be back to pick you up later.
Yo, man, what do you expect? The guy's a gigolo, man. You know what I mean?
This is a great store, by the way. You just sell Scottish things here?
That's right. All things Scottish. Our slogan is, if it's no Scottish, it's crap.
Remember, Sally, when I promised to kill you last?
That's what made you did.
I lied.
Hello, and welcome to Who Will Save Generation X, the trivia game show that is dedicated to remembering, celebrating, and preserving all the wonderful qualities of Generation X through games, trivia, and friends. I am Zabe, your host, and today we have two great contestants ready to compete for ultimate slacker prizes, and in the process, do their part to save Generation X from being forgotten. Are you ready to do your part? Please play along with the contestants while you listen and see what rad prize you would have wanted if you were here with us, saving Generation X from fading into oblivion. We're so happy that you've chosen to join us, and you're sure to get a nice dose of nostalgia and a few laughs along the way. So if everyone's ready, let's start the show. I'm very excited to welcome these two first-time guests to the show as we share our memories of life growing up during Generation X. There's something here for everyone, but if you like reminiscing about the movies Clue or TV shows like Taxi, then this episode is one you might especially like.
Especially like.
We're going to save the pop culture nostalgia of Generation X from being forgotten today with this brother and sister matchup. Let's give a very quick hello to each of them now. Let's first welcome to the show the younger brother of these two, who told the judges that he was born on the sixth best year of our generation. Strangely specific. Please welcome Matt. Thanks for being on the show, Matt.
Oh, thank you, Zabe. I'm really glad to be here. It's been a long time coming, but we're finally here, and it's really good to hear your voice and see your face.
Oh, nice to see a familiar face.
Ichuta.
How rude.
So my name is Matt Osborne, and this is going to be an awesome show. I've been ready for this for a long time. I'm playing against my sister, Alex, who was born in 1969, dude. She may start out strong. But she might even finish strong. I don't know yet. We'll see. I know she's got some tricks up her sleeve. So let's get it on.
Matt, you got to warn me before you say the 69 gag.
Oh, sorry.
I wasn't ready for it. But that's okay. We'll move on. Thanks for being here, Matt. Let's also welcome to the show a first-time guest who once agreed to go see Desperately Seeking Susan with a boy just so that she could get him to sell her his Frankie Goes to Hollywood concert tickets. That might be the most Gen X sentence ever spoken on this show. Please welcome to the podcast, Alex. Hi, Alex.
Hi, Zabe. How are you? I'm happy to be here playing against my younger brother, Matt, who is retired Air Force. Thank you for your service, Maddie. And I just wanted to tell you, Matt, that if you win, that would be inconceivable. And I just want you to feel you are doing well. I hate for people to die embarrassed. I do not envy the headache you will have when you awake. But for now, rest well and dream of large women.
Oh, I will. Don't worry about it. I think my wife shouldn't be listening right now, but that's fine.
Alex, I'm going to say the same thing to you as I told Matt. You got to warn me and give me a little bit of heads up when you use the inconceivable, because we use that drop on here a lot. Thanks for being here, Alex.
Thank you.
The power.
Struggle.
In the opening of this episode, you heard five quick clips from Generation X. The game is called The Power Struggle. And in this game, you need to name those five clips in the order that they are played. At any time during the episode, contestants can interrupt the game and declare that they want to solve the power struggle question. They only get one chance to answer it correctly. And if they are correct, then they instantly steal the power away from their opponent. And as an added wrinkle to the game, If you solve the power struggle in this episode, you'll be awarded a whopping 20-point bonus to your score. We'll play the clip a couple of times during the episode, so listen closely and see if you can solve the power struggle. We're going to jump right into round one and get the games rolling.
Round one.
Most game shows wait for their final round to bust out a lightning round. But since we're Gen Xers, we make up our own rules. And that's why we're going to start with a lightning round. We call this game, What the Blank?
What the blank?
So a listener wrote us and said that this game is much more fun to play at home when you fill in the blank with a dirty word. So for those playing at home, if you don't know it, then you kind of know what to do there. Okay. Here's our new intro song.
It's time to go. It's more fun if you fill in the blank with a dirty word. When the crowd can't hurt, what the blank? When the prize claim the fame in the game, the winner of the game will receive the power.
Oh my God, that was amazing. Thank you very much.
I'm that glad was... you guys liked that. A lot of work went into that.
Yeah, I can tell.
Yeah, well, you know. The game is that I have a list of fill-in-the-blank statements that I'll read to you, and you will have 1 minute to come up with as many correct answers within that time limit. You'll score 1 point for each correct answer. If you get stuck, say pass, and we'll come back to it if there's enough time. Each list has a theme and a total of 10 fill-in-the-blank statements. At the end, for each unanswered fill-in-the-blank, your opponent will get a chance to answer them and steal whatever points are remaining. The winner of round one will receive the power.
The power.
Which allows the player who has it to make all the choices in the game first and wins all ties for as long as they control the power. We played a pretensies round of trivia before the show started. And Matt, congratulations, you won that round. So you get to start us off on What the Blank by picking one of the two themes available to you. Whichever one you don't pick will go to your opponent. Will you choose Let's Have a Blank Celebration? Or will you pick Bohemian Blanksity?
Zabe, let me go with Bohemian Blanksity.
Bohemian Blanksity. All of the following 10 fill-in-the-blank songs will be song titles from the band Queen. Are you ready, Matt?
I am ready.
Okay. I'm going to get my ass kicked on this game.
Yeah, but I think you've got the next one, though, Alex.
I think so, maybe.
If I think I know who it is. All right.
If I think I know who it is, too.
Yeah, 1 minute. We'll start the timer. I'll try and read these as best I can. No promises.
Okay.
Here we go. Another one bites the blank. Matt?
Oh, dust.
We will blank you.
Rock.
Blank pressure.
Under.
We are blank champions.
The. The.
Somebody to blank.
Love.
Killer blank.
Queen.
You're my best blank.
Friend.
Don't blank me now.
Stop.
Radio blank blank.
Gaga.
Fat blanked girls.
Bottomed.
Congratulations, Matt. You went 10 for 10 on that. That's very impressive.
Most impressive.
Just getting warmed up.
Nice. You left no points on the board for your sister to get.
It's too bad.
Flawless victory.
However, you did leave her the next category, which was called Let's Have a Blank Celebration. All the following 10 blanks will be all song titles from Depeche Mode. Are you ready, Alex?
I think so.
Here we go. Enjoy the blank.
Oh my gosh. Skip.
Never Let Me Blank Again.
Down.
Behind the Blank.
Skip.
Blasphemous Blank.
Skip.
People Blank People.
People are people.
Just Can't Blank Enough.
Get enough.
Blank in my eyes.
Spit.
No. Shake the blank.
I'm sorry. Again.
Shake the blank. Shake the blank.
Moneymaker.
No, I'm so sorry.
We're not doing well at all. I'm having major brain freezes here.
No worries. Okay, Matt. Your sister lovingly has spotted you most of this list. Okay, so I believe Enjoy the Blank is yours.
Silence.
Behind the Blank.
Lemonade Stand.
It was Behind the Wheel. was the correct answer. Blasphemous blank.
Rumors.
Oh, I wish I had Queen. I knew all those.
Number seven was blank in my eyes, Matt. It's more fun if you fill in the blank
with a dirty word. World.
Shake the blank.
Disease.
Blanking in my shoes.
Standing.
And the last one was blank buddy.
Blank buddy. Oh, trapeze artist. I don't want to get slimed.
Somebody.
Oh, there we go.
It was walking in my shoes.
Oh, walking.
Blanking in my shoes. Walking in my shoes. Robin, will you please give us a scoring update?
Yes. Going into round two, Alex has 3 points. Matt has a whopping 14.
Congratulations, jeez. Matt. You've won round one, and that means you have the power.
The power is yours.
Right on. I'm ready for it.
Before we start round two, let's take a moment to better meet our contestants. The judges are the gatekeepers of all things Gen X here on the show. And to that end, they are requesting to know from our contestants about their Gen X credentials. That is, apart from being born between 1965 and 1980, what qualifies you to claim yourself as part of Generation X, and what might potentially disqualify you from being Gen X? Please welcome to the show, Matt. Please tell us a little bit about yourself. Please include your Gen X qualifiers and potential disqualifiers.
All right. Thank you, Zabe. So my name is Matt Osborne. I live in central Missouri with my family. Family of seven, 4 girls and 1 boy. Whoa. Yeah. Yeah. No hair.
Is there a Brady Bunch scenario going on, or is that all you?
That's all me and her. So, yep. One of my big qualifiers is my first concert was Kiss, and I can't remember exactly what year it was, but my mom won tickets on the local rock station. I believe Cheap Trick opened up for them, which I guess was fine, but good thing I forgot that part of it. Yeah, looking back, you know, Kiss would have been awesome to go back and watch, you know, in 70, or I think it was 83. I can't remember for sure.
79. I was 10.
Okay, 79.
Sure, you know what year he went to freaking Kiss. Can't remember the name of the
Can't remember your Depeche Mode songs. What are your favorite
I was there. I was there with him at the Kiss concert.
Yeah, that was a pretty badass concert. That's okay. That's okay. You're just warming up, okay? It'll be fine. Okay. We're going to get there. Another Gen X qualifier is my second concert was Queen, and Billy Squire opened up for them. Let's see. Okay, so this is probably better than both of those. I did ditch school after watching Ferris Bueller's Day Off with 3 of my friends, and it wasn't that great of a day off because I lived in Santa Fe, New Mexico. There were a few good things to do, but we didn't eat pancreas. We didn't see fine works of art to Morrissey's Please, Please, Please. It was actually played by, I can't remember the name of the band that redid that song. So yeah, we got grounded. So that was not good. One of my big Gen X disqualifiers is I've never seen any of the Godfather's movies.
Same.
I never. Oh, okay.
Same. So you're in good company. I've never seen those.
I've seen parts of it. I'm like, meh, you know, there's probably something else on like He-Man or something. That's about it. I didn't have Transformers. I did get GoBots, though, because they were smaller and cheaper.
GoBots. Oh, my goodness. The Kirkland brand of Transformers. The GoBots.
Right. Transformers, they're not GoBots.
That's the biggest selling point, right, for Transformers. They're not GoBots. Wow. Yep. I tell you, I'm really jealous, Matt. No way in the world would my sister take me to a rock show that my mother won on a radio contest. That's pretty awesome.
Oh, yeah. My mom was there, too. She wouldn't let us go alone. Mom went.
Well, it was the 70s or 80s. That's why I thought maybe it was just your 10-year-old sister taking her, 7-year-old to a rock show.
No,
my parents let that do. They just drop us off. See ya. Hope you don't die.
If he dies, he dies.
Well, thank you, Matt. Let's move on to your sister. Welcome to the show, Alex. Please tell the listeners a little bit about yourself, and please give your Gen X qualifiers and potential disqualifiers.
Well, thank you, Zabe. So I live in Arizona. I work for an insurance company. I've been there 21 years. I have a wonderful daughter who graduated from NAU with a degree in physics, and I have 3 beautiful grandsons who live down in Phoenix. My Generation X qualifiers are going to be, I always, at slumber parties, always did light as a feather, stiff as a board. number one qualifier, of course, is the year I was born, 69.
What did I tell you guys about?
You gotta warn him.
What's going on here?
You wanna do it over? I can do it over.
Can we do it over? Can we get a do over? That'd be amazing. Oh man, I haven't heard one yet.
That's why I paused when I said
I wasn't ready though. Okay, that one's on me. Fine, I get it. I'll take the blame on that one.
I spent a whole summer at my aunt's in Idaho, middle of nowhere, going to the gas station every day to play Miss Pac-Man so I could be the number one scorer.
Nice.
I made Matt walk with me to the mall at 4 o'clock in the morning to get tickets to go see Duran Duran.
I don't know why she made me go. I seriously don't.
I was allowed to go by myself. So I made you go with me.
You had your six-year-old to keep you safe.
That's right.
At 4 o'clock in the morning, going to the mall.
Yeah, it's 84.
We walked there. It was Tri-City Mall, Mesa. Yeah. And I went to the movie theater every day. We had dollar movie theaters back then. Every day for probably 2 months to watch Red Dawn play over and over and over. I probably watched 3 shows a day. I spent $3 a day to watch Red Dawn.
Hold up. That's got to be a disqualifier. You paid 3 times to go to that same movie? You didn't just like hang out in the theater sneak and like go in, to the bathroom yeah. and then sneak back in?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. My,
that's
my
both
mom,
a qualifier and disqualifier, I think.
Okay. Yeah. It's my mom's fault. She taught me to be honest. Anyway, disqualifiers. Never watched an episode of Transformers or Thundercats, and I don't know anything about the garbage Cabbage Patch doll or Care Bears.
Judges, I think we've got an exhaustive list of credentials and disqualifiers. Can we just say they all kind of wash out and everyone can stay on the show? Okay, great. Congrats, guys. Let's move on. Before we start round two, let's take another listen to the power struggle.
Oh, Captain, my Captain.
Broadcast over any FM car radio.
Hey, good looking. We'll be back to pick you up later.
Yo, man, what do you expect? The guy's a gigolo, man. You know what I mean?
This is a great store, by the way. You just sell Scottish things here?
That's right. All things Scottish. Our slogan is, if it's no Scottish, it's crap.
Remember, Sally, when I promised to kill you last?
That's what made you... You did.
I lied.
Round two.
There are a lot of iconic voices in that.
Oh, yeah.
The power struggle. So if you don't know exactly what it is, probably should be able to at least get some of the people in there.
So I hope so. Yep.
Round two is a game called Eight is Enough.
Oh, eight is enough to fill our lives with love.
In this game, I'll ask a total of 8 questions, 4 to each of our contestants. Points are awarded for each correct answer, 2 points for a complete correct answer, and 1 pity point for a partial correct answer if they can convince the judges for it. Players take turns answering questions with a chance to steal if their opponent answers incorrectly. The steal is worth 1 point, but more importantly, a steal also takes the power away from their opponent. The judges require that all questions must be given an answer no matter how incorrect they may be. So if you say some form of, I don't know, here in the show, you will lose a point and you will get slimed. Whoever has the most points at the end of round two will take a secret trip to the prize vault and choose the prize that the two of you will be playing for. So, Matt, you have the power, and you get to pick between these two questions. Will it be, I'm going to go home and sleep with my wife, which is a movie question? Or will it be, I'm still wanting to get my own jetpack, which is a television question?
Those are tough. I think I'm going to go with number one. I'm going to go home and sleep with my wife.
The movie Clue was written and filmed with multiple endings. In the theatrical release, movie theaters were sent one of 3 potential endings with their own unique answer to whodunit. In the home video and subsequent streaming releases, all 3 endings are shown sequentially, with the 3rd ending established as the official true ending of the movie. Your question is, in the movie, who kills Mr. Body with what weapon and where in the 3rd and final ending to the movie Clue? This is multiple choice.
Yes. Thank goodness.
Is it A, Mr. Green in the hall with the revolver? B, Miss Scarlet in the study with the candlestick? C, Colonel Mustard in the lounge with the lead pipe? Or is it D, Mrs. White in the ballroom with a flamethrower?
Yes, I did it. I killed Yvette. I hated her so much. Flames. On the side of my face, heaving breaths.
What do you got, Matt?
Oh, I'm going to go with my gut and what I thought first. I'm going to go with B, was it Mrs. Scarlet and the candles with the candlestick? And I forgot which room you said.
Mrs. Scarlet in the study with the candlestick is incorrect, Matt.
Oh, no.
Alex, here's a golden opportunity for you to get 1 point and steal the power. Is it A, Mr. Green in the hall with the revolver, Colonel Mustard in the lounge with the lead pipe, or the flamethrower? If you remember a flamethrower in that movie, you should go with D.
I'm going to say Colonel Mustard. C.
Sorry, I didn't say it. Is it A, Mr. Green in the hall with the revolver, C, Colonel Mustard in the lounge, or D,
flamethrower?
C, Colonel Mustard in the lounge.
Okay. Well, I repeated it in hopes that you would change your answer, but you didn't. The correct answer was Mr. Green in the hall with the revolver.
I thought you just didn't hear me. Son of a biscuit eater.
I was just pretending. I was rooting for you.
I appreciate that. I'm so far behind.
Something tells me that you'll have more opportunities to have me cheat for you in the future. Here we go.
Okay.
Pay attention.
Okay.
Here's your fun fact. The Clue Mansion was created on two Paramount sound stages, and the set designers rented much of the expensive furnishings from a private collector. When the movie failed to recoup its budget, the set was sold to the producers of Dynasty, of all places, where it became the Carlton Hotel. Did you guys ever watch Dynasty as a kid?
Oh, of course I didn't.
Right?
Yeah, I know. That was like my parents' show.
Totally. I feel like they totally made that show for our parents. Personally, as a kid, I think I would rather have Mr. Green use the revolver on me in the TV room than have to watch an episode of Dynasty.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Matt, that's no points for you. Alex, you get this question. It's called, I'm still wanting to get my own jetpack. It's a TV question. The Flintstones gave us a comical look at what it might be to live back in the ancient past. It is the perfect foil to its fellow Hanna-Barbera cartoon, The Jetsons. This show had a similar premise to The Flintstones, but instead looked at what absurdities the future might bring to everyday life. George Jetson, patriarch of the titular family, is a lower-level employee at Spacely Space Brockets, if you remember. Your question is, how many hours a week did George Jetson have to work? This is a multiple choice. Don't give me that face. Was it A, 2 hours a week? B, 8 hours a week? C, 24 hours a week? D, 40 hours a week? Or is it E, 69?
69, dudes!
Hours a week.
Yay!
The crowd goes wild.
Yeah, I got to finally hear it. That's awesome. We didn't steal your thunder that time.
Well, I feel like they did a whole lot of nothing. So I'm going to go A, 2 hours a week.
A whole lot of nothing. He had to push the button on and he had to push a separate button off. 2 hours a week is absolutely correct. Well done.
All right. Way to go, Alex.
On board.
That's probably the most esoteric question we have in the whole game. So well done. You got that one.
Right arm.
Judges, should we give her like 5 bonus points for getting the hardest question right? Sorry. Once again, trying to cheat for you, Alex. It's not working.
can I get 2 points for my birth year?
No. We'll negotiate at the end of the episode. Talk to me before round 3. Here's your fun fact. If you can believe it, George Jetson's work week consisted of an hour a day, 2 days a week. There were episodes where he worked overtime of 3 hours a week, but 2 hours is the official answer. Go ahead and Google it if you really want to. George's working hours reflected the optimism in the early part of Gen X that improved working conditions made in the first half of the 20th century would continue in the second half of the century. Optimists hoped productivity gains from automation would mean a leisure society by the year 2000. How'd that work out, experts? Between this and the future Star Trek promised us, I'm really starting to wonder where the human race went wrong in real life. I'm thinking it's kind of right around the time where MTV stopped playing music videos all day.
Yep.
Sounds about right.
Robin, you got a scoring update for us?
I do. As it stands, Matt still has his 14 points. Alex now has 5.
Woohoo! Catching up, Maddie. Catching up.
Creeping up on me.
This will be a big comeback. We'll see.
You can do it all night long. Anyway, yeah. Not a Gen X movie, but we all loved it.
Close enough. Matt, you still have the power. You get to pick between these two questions. Will it be same time, better station, which is a TV question? Or will it be same great taste, but now with 33% more millennial.
Let's go with A, because if I think I know the TV show, I'd probably do pretty good, but I probably don't.
Neither of them were A or B, but I know what you mean. It was the first
one. Oh, number one.
Same time, better station. This is a TV question. Taxi was a workplace sitcom that ran between 1978 and 1982, and during that time, it was nominated for 31 Emmys and won 18. That's amazing. Today, it and its characters still rank on the greatest of all time lists. So it seems crazy that this show was also canceled twice. Taxi was canceled after four seasons on ABC, but ran for one more year on what network? Is it A, CBS, B, Fox, C, NBC, D, HBO, or is it E, IBS?
Well, I would love to go with D because that's just hilarious. But I want to say it's the one that ends with good night, Mr. Burroughs. Or sit, Ubu, sit. Good dog. I can't remember which one it was. I'm going to go with CBS.
One. CBS is incorrect. I think that's what I would have gone with as well, Matt.
Yeah, IBS is better, but. No, it's not better, but it's a funnier answer.
Alex, once again, golden opportunity to steal the power and get a point. Was it A, CBS, B, Fox, C, NBC, D, HBO, or is it E, IBS?
C, NBC.
NBC is correct. Well done. Alex, go, that's Alex. A point for you. And also, you have stolen the power.
Steal the power.
Well done. Here's your fun fact. After the show's first cancellation, many expected it to be picked up by HBO of all places, but NBC did instead. They kept the same time slot that it was on for ABC in hopes that viewers would just change the channel and keep it on NBC, and it worked. Taxi would go on for one more year, but many of the writers and guest stars would stick around NBC afterwards to do 11 seasons of Cheers as NBC established its stranglehold on sitcoms for the next decade.
Taxi's coming to NBC.
Same time, better station.
Ah,
there it is.
There we go.
Danny DeVito did a TV spot to promote it and kind of did that little dig on.
Oh, that was him right there?
That was him. Yeah, that was from a ad that he did. Yeah, just to kind of like rub, turn the knife a little, whatever.
I love that theme song.
Me too.
Night, Mr. Walters.
Alex, you get the next question. It's called Same Great Taste, but now with 33% more millennial. We are debuting a brand new game this episode that we came up with only this afternoon. It's so new, in fact, that we have a placeholder name until a suitable name can be found. We'll tell you the name of it in a second. But listeners, if you have a name that you think is better, then please drop us a line and let us know. The website answering machine would be a great place to start for that, but emails work well too. In this game, we are going to pick a totally random millennial from the audience and ask them a series of Gen X general knowledge questions, and the contestants will take turns guessing if they think that totally random millennial will know the answer or not. If the contestant guesses correctly, they will score 1 point, but if our millennial gets the question wrong, then that contestant can try to get an additional point by guessing if their opponent will know the answer to the same question. If their opponent gets it correct, then they will get a bonus point for their efforts. So for at least this episode, we're going to call this game Millennial Yes or Millennial No.
All right.
We really need a workshop on that one. Okay, here we go.
I love it.
So first things first, we need to pick someone totally random out of our audience. Let me see. You, Robin, would you like to be our millennial for this premiere of the game?
I would love to be. I was born in 1991, so that should work out totally fine.
Well, that's a good thing because there's no one else here and you're the only one we can pick. Here. The game is designed to ask the average millennial these kinds of easier questions for Gen Xers. But take note, there is nothing average about Robin. She is exceptional in every way, but, you know, she's still a millennial, so may not have even been born yet when some of the stuff was around. So please keep that in mind as we play. So question one. Robin, how did Fonzie most commonly turn on the jukebox at Arnold's?
Does anyone say, thank you, Arnold? No. You know what they say?
Sit on it, Arnold.
That's what they say.
So, Alex, Do you think Robin will get this question right? Yes, she will, or no, she will not.
Millennial, no.
She says no. Robin, what's your answer?
He banged on it with his fist.
I mean, I don't mean to laugh, but
when you say the word Fonzie and banging, that can mean a lot of things. Please clarify.
What's in the box, Fonz?
I mean, yeah, it's Henry Winkler. Come on. He's got a tattoo of Roy Orbison on his butt.
So you say bang on it with his fist? That is absolutely correct. Well done.
Correctamundo.
Yes. Although Arthur Fonzarelli would sometimes snap his fingers or stomp his foot to use his cool to manipulate the forces of the universe to turn on the jukebox at Arnold's, he would most often just kind of punch it. So, Alex, you guessed incorrectly. Okay. Robin, you expertly got this correct. Well done.
Thank you.
Question two is for you, Matt. Robin, what parts of E.T.'s body would glow when he used his alien superpowers? Matt, do you think that she knows about E.T.'s glowing parts?
Well, she was already talking about banging Arthur Fonzarelli. And then we get into something a little bit more tame, like the glowing parts of E.T. But yes, I think she will know the parts that glowed. Yes.
Okay. Robin?
You say parts, like multiple parts?
No hints. The question, that's not how the question's phrased.
I feel like you said parts, but I'm sorry if I...
No, I was going, I remember it's his finger, so I'm going to go ahead and assume that all of his fingers did that at some point.
So what's your official answer?
Fingers.
Fingers is incorrect. Okay, so...
Sorry, Matt.
Here's the reason. That's okay. Robin got it incorrect. That means we're going to turn the question on to you, Alex. But Matt, you need to answer whether you think Alex will get it correct or not.
I think she will. I think she's got this.
Okay. So Alex, if you can guess it correctly, you're going to get a point and Matt will get a point.
The reason I say that is because, if I'm not mistaken, did you go to the Neil Diamond concert with us in Tempe at Arizona State? Do you remember that?
No.
Okay, maybe she won't get it.
His parts that glowed was his index finger. His heart.
Oh, wow.
That was the most dramatic answer we've ever had.
I know.
That was beautiful.
So I know it's not a normal thing to be on a podcast, but it is an audio format. So when you're pointing your finger up to the camera and making little heart gestures on your chest, we can't see that. The listeners can't see that.
That's just for you guys. That's just for you guys. Yeah.
It was lovely.
It was.
Okay, so that's a point for each of you then.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Robin, simply put, who sings this song?
Oh, yeah.
Alex, do you think Robin knows who sings this Gen X earworm?
I'm sure I know who sings that. I'm going to say, I'm going to go no again. Yeah.
Okay. Robin, who sings that song?
Okay. I don't recognize the song, but I remember when I was writing part of this show that Lionel Richie had one where he made up a bunch of African words. Was this that song? Was it Lionel Richie?
Is it Lionel Richie, judges? It is not Lionel Richie. Okay, so Robin got it wrong. Now that means, Alex, you get to guess whether you think Matt knows this song or not.
Let me go yes. Correct,
okay.
Yes.
Matt, who sings this song?
Oh, God. If I had to guess, probably Gloria Estefan and the Miami Sound Machine.
That's a very specific guess, and you're correct. We also would have accepted Gloria Estefan.
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 I had a huge crush on Gloria Estefan.
Estefan.
Estefan. Yes.
We all did.
I think, yeah.
I didn't.
Okay, so that's a point for each of you there. So back to Matt's. Question four is, who played Michael Knight in the TV series Knight Rider? Will Robin know?
I don't know if she's got a good poker face or not. I'm going to go out on a limb and say no.
Are you kidding me? You don't think she knows who played Michael Knight, a Knight Rider?
I'm 50-50 on it, but no, I don't think she knows it.
You don't know either?
No, I know.
Oh, okay.
I know who did. Yeah. No, we I don't think know. She knows it.
Everybody knows this. Everyone listening to the podcast right now, they're all screaming at their radio like, this is the most easy question ever. But you're going to go with no? Really?
Okay. Yes, I'm going to go with no.
All right. Robin, come on, put us out of our misery. Who plays Michael Knight on the TV series Knight Rider?
Don Johnson.
Wrong. Sorry, Michael.
That is incorrect.
Oh my goodness gracious.
I'm so sorry, guys.
I don't know. Oh, okay.
So Matt said no. And so for an extra point, do you think your sister knows who plays Michael Knight on the TV series Knight Rider?
Yes, I think Alex probably, I think she knows.
Of course she knows.
Of course she does.
So for an easy point, Alex, make the layup.
God. My mind went completely blank. He's on Baywatch.
Well, if you just answer the question.
He sang in like some German damn song.
Why don't you just answer the question?
What the hell is his name?
Be honest. No big deal.
Yeah, answer it.
Oh, my God. He did. He did like a video in Germany.
Just answer the question.
I can tell you're vacillating between a couple of things. Just get off the wall and pick something.
Talk to us.
Oh, Hoffman.
Is it Dustin Hoffman playing Michael Knight? Knight Rider? Judges?
Yeah. That would be amazing. That would be amazing.
Definitely Turbo Boost. Definitely Turbo Boost.
Oh,
I'm
Lordy.
Sorry, Matt. That is not a bonus point for you.
Oh.
But for funsies, tell us who played Michael Knight.
That would be the guy whose name I swear to God I brain farted just now.
Come on,
answer the question.
Come on,
don't be
come on, it's
jerk.
Easy. It's only one question.
Robin, how about you tell us?
Dang it! I'm getting yelled at. Yes, I'm getting yelled at so bad. Everybody listening to this podcast is going to look for my address right now. I just know it.
You never answered the question.
Here's the final question in the segment here, and it is back to Alex. Question 5. Let's bring it home. What is the Fonz's first and last name in the TV show Happy Days? So, Alex, yes or no, do you think Robin was paying attention when we told her the answer to this question on question number 1? It couldn't be any easier, but do you think Robin will get this one correct or not?
I think because she knows that the Fonz bangs on things, she's going to know his name.
Bangs on things. Leather Escudero is not known.
She's not a thing.
She has a
She's
name.
She's a woman, okay? She's a human being.
She has a name, and it's Leather Tuscadero.
It was Pinky. It was Pinky Tuscadero. Leather was the little sister or cousin or something.
Like what? That's going to stop the Fonz. Come on.
Yeah, right.
All right.
It just went PG-14, I think.
She says yes. Robin, what is Fonzie's first and last name?
Arthur Fonzarelli.
Oh!
Good job, Robin. Good job, Robin.
Now, the other question is, did you know it before we gave you the answer in question 1?
Honestly, I did. And I know it's weird that my knowledge is more for the older stuff.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, listeners, what did you think of our new game? Please go to our website at whowillsavegenx.com. Click on that blue microphone icon and let us know. Also, let us know if you can think of a better name of this game than Millennium Yes or Millennium No. Okay, Robin, please give us a scoring update.
All right, Alex, you've definitely made up some ground. You have 10 points now. Matt has 17.
Nice.
Wow. Good job.
Oh, thanks.
So Alex now has the power. And Alex, you get a pick now between these two questions. Will it be Mind Your Own Business, Madge, which is a commercial question, or will it be Cinema Soundcheck, which is a head-to-head challenge?
Let's do the head-to-head, Maddie. Let's do it.
Yes.
Head-to-head. Let's do it.
Cinema Soundcheck. For this question, I will give you the titles of tracks for the musical score of a popular movie from Gen X, and you need to tell me the title of the movie that it's from. Movie scores are usually instrumentals with obscure titles that should give you the hints that you need to name the movie. We will go back and forth between each player, who will give me a new movie title with each turn. Points are awarded to the player that gets it correct on their turn. There are 8 track titles on the list, and the number of points you will receive for a correct answer will match the number of songs revealed. So, for example, if you get the movie title correct on song 3, You will be awarded 3 points, song 4, 4 points, and so forth, all the way up to as many as 8 points on the final track. So you'll need to think of your strategy of when you want to get it correct and score as many points as possible. This is Alex's question, so you get to go first. The first song title is called The Friends Song. What movie had a title of the soundtrack that was called The Friends Song?
Trolls.
Trolls? The movie from like 2015? That is incorrect, surprisingly.
Robin knows that one.
Yeah, that is incorrect. Now we go to Matt. Song two is called I Will Never Love Again. So we got I Will Never Love Again and The Friends Song. What movie is that from, Matt?
Oh, I was going to say Care Bears, but they would never say I Will Never Love Again. I am going to say that would be RoboCop.
A lot of love and a lot of friends in that movie. Oh, surprisingly, yeah. It's incorrect.
I'd buy that for $1.
Oh, man.
Song three was titled Revenge. So we have Revenge, I Will Never Love Again, and the Friends song, Don't Say Trolls 2.
Heathers.
Heathers. That's a good guess. It's incorrect, but I think good it's movie. A good guess.
It's a great movie.
I like that movie.
A lot. I like it a lot.
Song four is a title called The Sword Fight. So we got The Sword Fight, Revenge, I Will Never Love Again, and The Friends Song.
I'm not a witch. I'm your wife. It's The Princess Bride.
Is it The Princess Bride?
Yeah.
That is correct. Well done. That's 4 points for you, Matt.
All right. Cool. That movie sucked. I'm kidding. That's one of the best movies ever.
So let me run down all the songs in the list. Listeners, see where you would have got it. Song one was The Friend Song. Two was I Will Never Love Again. Song three was Revenge. Song four, The Sword Fight. Song five was Storybook Love. Song six was Florin Dance. Song seven was The Cliffs of Insanity. And if you didn't get it by then, you would have had song eight, which was The Fire Swamp and The Rodents of Unusual Size. Here's the fun fact. In his audio commentary for The Princess Bride, director Rob Reiner said he really wanted Mark Knopfler of the band Dire Straits to create the soundtrack for the film. Reiner was an admirer of Knopfler's work, but did not know him before working on the film. He sent him the script and hoping that he would agree to score the film. Knopfler agreed on one condition, that A, somewhere in the film, Reiner would include the USS Coral Sea baseball cap that he wore in the film This is Spinal Tap. Reiner was unable to produce the original cap, but did include a similar cap on the grandson's room. Mark Knopfler later said he was only joking about the hat.
That's pretty awesome. That's a good fact right there.
Some might say it's a fun fact.
Yes. Sorry, I got that wrong.
Matt, those questions for you, my friend. It's called Mind Your Own Business, Madge. It's a commercial question. Judges, looking ahead, this next question is a little bit racy. Can we throw up a disclaimer for the kids? After all, this is a family show.
The reenactments and commentary in this program may contain frank talk of a sexual nature. Viewer discretion is advised.
Thank you. As I was saying, our generation's golden era of TV was also a golden age of TV ads, jingles, and slogans. Your question is, what product was advertised with the slogan, "You're soaking in it," delivered by the busybody Madge?
This program contains sexually explicit dialogue. Viewer discretion is advised.
All right, judges. I think they got the idea. That's cool. Was it A, Vaseline? B, Palmolive? C, Mr. Bubble? D, Sanka? Or was "You're soaking in it" the tagline for E, Tampax?
I'm going to go with No, I'm just kidding. You're soaking in it, Marge. Palmolive.
Palmolive is correct. Oh, well done.
She was such a jackass. Wasn't she?
Well, let's learn a little bit more about Madge.
This program contains adult content and is not meant for children.
Okay, judges. Thank you. If there's one thing better than a goofy slogan, it's a goofy slogan that sounds unintentionally dirty. At least, I think it was unintentional. These commercials seem to go out of their way to bring some kind of sexual innuendo coming from Madge.
I'm here, Madge.
Oh, hi, Red.
What artistic hand.
Oh, I do paint a bit. Dishwashing, Madge.
Well, try Palmolive dishwashing liquid.
That mild?
Oh, more than just mild. And it softens hands.
Feels soft.
You know you're soaking in it.
You're a dear.
Well, if he's a boy, he's going to have a problem.
Madge, I'm so grateful for Palmolive Liquid. You must let me thank you.
Oh, no. But does your husband know about this?
Right, Madge.
She is soaking in it, though.
She's hot.
We haven't begun to talk about the soaking. There we go. The American Palmolive commercials had that tone, but overseas versions got even worse. Oh, you didn't know that there were other Madges all over the world, did you? The company had a different Madge for every accent. We found one that said it was from Australia, but it could have just as easily have been from Britain, since all their accents sound exactly the same.
Oh, what's the occasion, Madge?
We've redecorated.
Very nice.
And you're not using palm olive. You're soaking in it.
For you, Madge.
What are we celebrating?
My hands.
I'll drink to that.
Okay, all right. Maybe a little different. An Australian accent sounds a little bit more educated and in touch with the world than a British accent does. So unless you're one of our two British listeners that want to call our answer machine website and tell us otherwise, they can safely assume that every American thinks Australian accents are more pleasant to the ear than the one spoken in the land of black pudding and cucumber ice cream.
Amen, brother.
We promise to stop making lame British jokes if you just reach out and let us know, two British listeners. Anyway, advertisers really tried anything, including to make it sound like Madge was hitting on her customers to get us, you know, kind of excited about their products, only to be met with the classic Gen X indifference and sarcasm. Younger generations, how might take on the slogan, you're soaking in it, in a whole different way, as I found out when I Googled the term soaking.
You're soaking in it.
Pro tip. Don't use your work computer if you choose to Google what soaking is.
Warning, the stunts and illusions performed on this program were designed and tested by a highly trained professional. These demonstrations are extremely dangerous and should not be attempted by anyone, anywhere, at any time.
Okay, pro tip was maybe the wrong way to set that warning up. But you know what I mean. Okay, let's move on. Yeah, I'm totally lost here. Who has the power, Robin? And give us a scoring update, please.
Alex still has the power. Scoring update. Alex has 10 points. Matt has definitely made some ground here and has 22.
Oh, Lord.
You've been lapped, Alex. But let's see if you can make up some ground. You have the power. You get to pick between these two questions. Will it be the ugliest prom dress you ever did see, which is a movie question? Or will it be name that auto-tune, which is another head-to-head challenge?
Oh, my goodness. The ugliest prom dress.
As you can guess, this is a question about Pretty in Pink. Pretty in Pink is an excellent and iconic movie. No one here is saying otherwise. But that dress would get absolutely torn to shreds on Project Runway. Look, I'm not saying that it's hopeless for Andy. She just needs to get some training on some fashion design. Here's your question. Out of what did Andy make her, let's say, memorable dress? Did she make out of a dress handed down to her from her friend? And a new one she saw in a department store window display. B, a dress her dad bought her and Iona's old prom dress. C, her mother's wedding gown that she left behind and some sweater vests from Ducky. D, a combination of all her pink clothing stitched together. Or is it E, an old pink shower curtain that she found in a dumpster tacked on to a burlap sack?
I think that's it, Alex. Come on now.
I know, but I'm going to go B, a dress that her father bought her and Iona's old prom dress.
Well done. That's two more points.
Nice. Good job.
Andy's dress at the end of the movie is representative of her resourcefulness and thrifty fashion in the face of her family's poverty. It's her silent protest against Blaine and the other rich kids who hurt her. In short, the dress represents Andy's strength. Which is why it's so disappointing that the dress is ugly. I mean, the dress literally made Molly Ringwald cry when she saw it for the first time. The reveal is supposed to be her Cinderella moment, and it failed miserably. On the bright side, however, this was the most accurate depiction of home sewing ever put on film.
It's about right.
Here's the last question of the round. It's for you, Matt. It's name that auto-tune head-to-head challenge.
Name that auto-tune. The judges are terrible performers. Name that auto-tune with awful fake British accents.
For this question, the judges will perform part of a popular Gen X song, and you need to give me the title and artist of the song. The catch here is that the judges are terrible performers, and they will also be using an awful fake British accent to make things sound more silly. There are a total of 3 songs that you'll take turns answering, with the regular rules applying for stealing the power as well as stealing points. So that means this question could potentially be worth up to 5 points to one of you. So anything can still happen. We will give you a hint to try and help you by letting you know the year that the song was released, as well as letting you know the genre that the song belongs to, according to the internet. That last bit may or may not help you.
So anything can still happen.
Matt, this song's for you. It is a song from 1982, and it is listed as an alternative / indie pop rock song. Here's the judge's rendition. Then you tell me the artist and the title of the song. Listen closely.
With the heartbreak open, so much you can't hide. Put on a little makeup. Make sure they get your good side. If the word's unspoken, get stuck in your throat. Send a treasure token. Write it on a pound note.
Alex totally knows this. She wants you to okay, play it right now, Matt.
Oh, well, she went to see him. Adam and the Ants. And the song is Goody Two Shoes.
Judges, are we going to accept that? Let's listen to the reveal and see if you're correct.
If the word's unspoken, get stuck in your throat. Send a treasure token. Write it on a pound note. Goody two shoes. Goody two shoes. Don't drink, don't smoke. What do you do? Suckle in you and those follow. Something inside.
Okay, we're gonna give you partial credit, but we're gonna say that's not a complete correct answer. I'm sorry, it is not.
Okay,
Alex, can you steal this and get a point?
What? Adam Ant and Goody Two Shoes.
That is correct. Adam and the Ants was the band. This was an Adam Ant solo.
Okay.
So that's 1 point for Alex. Let's listen to the fun fact. Adam Ant wrote this song when dealing with an everlasting intrusion by the press. They were always asking about his personal life, which was great fodder for the tabloid. Adam was an intriguing character with a colorful past, and while he sought out attention for his act, he preferred to keep his personal life private. Famously, Adam Ant was an 80s outliner by not doing drugs, alcohol, or even cigarettes. This led to a predictable questions from the press wondering if he didn't drink or smoke, then what exactly do he do? Anyone who's seen the music video knows that the question of the song shouldn't be what do to do, but instead who do to do. Clearly, the only vice for Adam Ant was sex, and the video ends with him getting it on with one of the reporters. Not quite a subtle innuendo after all.
Must be something inside.
Song 2 is for you, Alex. It is listed as a synth pop new wave song from 1983. Artist and title to this song right here.
The handshake seals the contract. From the contract, there's no turning back. The turning point of a career. In Korea, being insincere. The holiday was fun packed. The contract still intact.
A chance for a redemption right here.
Oh, man.
It's Depeche Mode.
Oh.
The grabbing hand. We'll grab all they can. Everything counts in large amounts.
Let's see if she's right.
The handshake seals the contract. From the contract, there's no turning back. The turning point of a career. In Korea, being insincere. The holiday was fun-packed. The contract still intact.
Yes, that is indeed Everything Counts by Depeche Mode. Well done. That's 2 points for you. Here's the fun fact that the contract was still intact. Sorry. There's some debate about the origins of this song. Some say it was written during a tour in Asia when Martin Gore saw widespread inequality of those crushed by the wheels of industry in the country. The haunting, tender melody played on a sample of a shwarm, aka a Chinese oboe, and mention of Korea would add credibility to these thoughts. Personally, I just think that they like the challenge of rhyming career, Korea, and insincere, or career, Korea and Insincera, as they kind of put it. Side note, just to tie this into our first song, Adam Ant's second favorite sex position of choice back in the 80s was indeed called the Chinese oboe.
Must be something inside.
And our final song in the round is from 1988. Wikipedia calls it a funk pop song, if you can believe that. Let's give the judges' version a little listen.
Here come the world, with the look in its eye. Future uncertain, but certainly slight. Look at the faces, listen to the bells. It's hard to believe we need a place called hell. Place called hell.
Artist and title of that song.
Oh my goodness. Oh my gosh. Just brain farted, but I don't want to get slimed. And okay. Well, then I'll just get slimed twice. No. It's hard to believe we need a place called. Oh God. I thought it was going to be The Cure or Tears for Fears. I know that's weird, but I'm going to say The Cure, Jukebox Hero.
Judges, is it The Cure, Jukebox Hero? It's incorrect. Alex, a chance to steal. Last one in the round.
What was the genre again? Pop funk?
Pop funk. You know, The Cure.
I forgot the funk part. Oh, boy. British people.
If it was just a British person, it'd be okay. But he sounds like a robot. And that is not helping.
No, it's not British. This is a very articulate, intelligent lyrics. Clearly, it's Australian.
Australian. Yeah, there you go.
Pat Benatar, We Are the Children.
Let's listen to it and see if it is indeed Pat Benatar, We Are the Children.
Here come the world, look in its eye. Future uncertain, but certainly slight. Look at the faces, listen to the bells. It's hard to believe we need a place called hell. Place called hell. The devil inside, the devil inside. Every single
that was NXS, The Devil Inside. Fun fact, during his brief stint as NXS manager, Gary Morris said he tried to sell the band on becoming a hardcore Christian band. According to bassist Gary Beers, who wrote the band's official autobiography, quote, he wanted us to write songs about Christ and to promote a drug and alcohol-free and no sex before marriage proper Christian lifestyle. We were the guys who would later write Devil Inside and Original Sin. We didn't go for it.
Yeah,
this song features one of the most prominent recorded inhales in rock history. Right before he sings the chorus, Michael Hutchence takes the deepest breath ever, and it's even more noticeable when I isolate the vocals. Take a quick listen, real quick.
Look at the faces, listen to the bells. It's hard to believe we need a place called hell. Place called hell. The devil inside, the devil inside.
I'm not sure if it's the devil inside or it's just the asthma inside, but I noticed it and I can't unhear it now every time I listen to the song. And now you will too. You're
yes.
welcome.
Thanks for making the song way better. He forgot his inhaler, obviously. I got to make a text tone out of that.
I'm going to send you a text, Matt. That'd be kind of creepy, actually.
That'd be kind of creepy, yeah. Hey, what's wrong with that guy? Just a little asthma. I'm fine.
That's it for round two. Robin, will you please give us a scoring update?
Yes. Alex retained the power, has 15 points. Matt's just ahead of her with 23, but it's still anyone's game.
Wow, I got up to 15.
So, Matt, congratulations. You have the most points at the end of round two. You and I are going to take a secret trip to the prize vault where you're going to be selecting the prize that the two of you will be playing for in the final round. But before we do that, let's hear a quick word from our sponsor.
Next on Knight Rider, when Michael tries to save a beautiful dancer who's marked for death, he's in for a close shave with a cutthroat killer.
Michael, duck!
Next.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
If you're enjoying the show so far, please consider giving us a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from, and subscribing for future episodes. The only way a show like this gets anywhere in the podcasting world is by positive reviews and word of mouth among friends. So, if you're inclined, please help spread the word about the podcast and share it with that special Gen Xer in your life. We'd love to have you as a friend of the show. Thanks so much.
So who's going to save our generation? Are you going to save our generation? Who will save Generation X?
The power
struggle.
Okay, the prize has been selected, but before we start round three, now it's the last chance to solve the power struggle question, to steal the power, score 20 points, and go first in round three. Remember, you need to name what the clip is from and in the correct order. Alex, you have the power, so that means Matt has a chance to steal if he can get all five correct. Let's take our final listen to the power struggle.
Oh, Captain, my Captain.
Broadcast over any FM car radio.
Hey, good looking. We'll be back to pick you up later.
Yo, man, what do you expect? The guy's a gigolo, man. You know what I mean?
Hey, this is a great store, by the way. You just sell Scottish things here?
That's right. All things Scottish. Our slogan is, if it's no Scottish, it's crap.
Remember, Sally, when I promised to kill you last?
That's what made you did.
I lied.
Okay, Matt, 1 through 5. Let me hear what you got.
I'm going to go with 1, Dead Poets Society. Number, sweet. Okay. And then number 2, Mr. Microphone. Number 3, Nana Cherry, Buffalo Stance.
Oh, my goodness. Halfway done.
Oh, this one I'm a little is. So I Married an Ex-Murderer.
Oh, no. Sorry, Matt. That was a bit of a trap.
That was. I was like, no, I don't remember that part, but okay.
You got 5 for fun?
Commando?
Commando is correct. You got 4 out of the 5, Matt. That's Ooh. Well done. Alex, do you know what number 4 is from?
It sounds like a Monty Python movie to me.
It is not. That was a skit on Saturday Night Live between Mike Myers and Kevin Nealon. Is the Scottish store where they basically keep saying, if it's not Scottish, it's crap. Over and over again.
Oh my God. Yeah, you got me on that one.
That means Alex has the power and gets to go first in a final round. Speaking of which, let's play it right now.
Round 3.
Round 3 is a prize round called Dysfunctional Family Feud. Very apropos for this episode. We got some family people. In this final round, I will ask the same 5 survey questions, Family Feud style, to each player in turn, and they will need to respond with what they think are the most popular responses from the Gen X timeline. That's the 70s, 80s, and early 90s. These are actual survey questions taken from actual people from Generation X that have been quizzed by the show via our newsletter. The player who has the power gets to answer first, with player 2 unable to hear their responses. Player 2 will then have to give responses to the same 5 questions and beat the other player's score without duplicating any of their answer. Whoever ends up with the most points wins the game and goes on to claim the chance of their prize that the winner of round 2 is selected in secret. Gen Xers, if you'd like to take part in Dysfunctional Family Feud surveys, sign up for our newsletter on our website, and it will include a spot for you to reply to upcoming surveys. After this episode, head over to whowillsavegenx.com and get your answers on the show. Okay, let's play Dysfunctional Family Feud. Alex, you have the power and you get to go first, which means we have to send Matt into the Phantom Zone. Your time will begin when I finish reading the first question. Name the best candy that we grew up with that didn't contain chocolate.
Sweetheart.
Name a person who appeared on the TV show You Can't Do That on television.
Pass.
You ought to know that one. Choose one word to describe Taco Bell in the 1980s.
Awesome.
Name an actor who played a cop in a 1980s movie.
Eddie Murphy.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how much did you like the band Rush?
0. 1.
Is it 0 or 1? Which one do you want?
Well, it's 1 to 10, so I guess I better do 1.
But these are Gen Xers we're talking about.
Oh, 0. 0.
What's your official answer?
0.
Okay, let's go back to the one you passed on. Name a person who appeared on the TV show You Can't Do That on television. You ought to know this, and I think it would be very ironic if Matt gets this before you do, the number one answer. Don't you think? If you don't know, just swallow that jagged little pill and just give me an answer.
Hi. Alanis Morissette.
Alanis Morissette? Wow. How did you pull that out? Okay. Let's go back and let Matt back in from the Phantom Zone. I hope Matt doesn't hate me when he hears this episode.
Oh, no. What did you do?
Matt, I'm going to ask you the same five survey questions I asked Alex. You may not duplicate any of her answers. If you do, you'll hear this sound, and I'll ask for another answer. It's a little bit more difficult, so you get two passes. Make sure you use your passes.
How many times are we going to pass before we shoot?
Okay, Matt, we have this very high-tech manual timer here on the show, which is my hand. I'm going to put a finger down one at a time, and when I run out of fingers, you run out of time, okay?
Very technical. Wait, what's this?
Whoa.
Tune in Tokyo.
Just one
All right.
Anything more, and you're asking for a sprained wrist.
Yes. Great. We can put our nose to the floor. We can smell the food.
Nice. Your time will begin when I finish reading the first question. Name the best candy that we grew up with that did not contain chocolate.
Pop Rocks.
A great answer. I think that's really great. I don't think it's on the survey, but I think it's a great answer. Question two.
Oh, God.
Name a person who appeared on the TV show You Can't Do That on Television.
Alanis Morissette.
Try again.
The janitor guy. That's
come
all
on.
I know.
You got to come up with his name. No, you don't remember the janitor's name? Just let it vomit all out.
Oh, vomit. His name was Vomit.
His name was not Vomit.
I thought you were giving me hints.
I was.
throw up. No.
What's your final answer?
Just vomit it all out. Stan.
Surely there's a Stan on that show, right?
I'm sure.
Speaking of vomit, choose one word to describe Taco Bell in the 80s.
Cheap.
Question four. Name an actor who played a cop in an 80s movie. Still have your passes.
Oh, pass.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how much did you like the band Rush?
9?
Let's go back to the one you passed on. An actor who played a cop in an 80s movie.
Eddie Murphy.
Try again.
Oh, Alex. Oh, in an 80s movie. Come on, Matt. You know this. You know this.
You still have one pass. You still have a pass?
We're not timed, are we?
Yeah,
I only thought I had one left.
We made the joke about grabbing stuff, remember?
I thought that was a countdown thing, not a...
It is.
Like, is it on a timer?
One at a time.
That's a timer.
Oh, okay.
That's how timers work, Matt. They count down.
Okay, it's not a counter, it's a timer. I'm sorry. A pass.
Pass? Okay. Let's go back to the one you passed on. Name an actor who played a cop in an 80s movie.
Oh, my God. Peter Wellers.
Peter Weller. There's two of them, right? He had a twin. Both of them. Both Peter.
With that.
Both Peter Wellers.
Both Peter Wellers. Peter.
Let's go to the scores. I asked you, name the best candy that we grew up with that didn't contain chocolate.
Alex, you gave us Sweet Tarts, which didn't make the survey and was worth 0 points. Matt, you gave us Pop Rocks, which it did make the survey. It was worth 15 points. The
nice.
Number yes, yeah, for sure. The number one answer was Nerds.
Nerds!
Nerds. Going into round three, Alex had 15 points and Matt had 23 points. So we're going to add these scores to your total for question one. That brings the score to Alex still with 15 points and Matt with 38 points. So Matt has a 23-point lead going into question number two.
No, that's not that big of a lead. So anything can still happen. We get information for these surveys from our listeners via our newsletter, and we get some interesting replies. So I'd like to give some honorable mentions to some of these entertaining answers. Honorable mention goes to the person who pointed out that the candy of our era sounded more like porn movies and included Big Hunk, Mike and Ike's, Lick Maid.
Wait, what was that one again?
Lick-a-maid. You remember Lick-a-maid? Lick-a-maid?
Oh, yeah. You stick it in the packet.
You had more of a fetish one in this with the Chico stick. And, of course, we had Sugar Daddy.
Oh, yeah.
Daddy.
Oh, those are good. Now I want candy.
Question two was, name a person who appeared on the TV show You Can't Do That on Television.
Alex, you gave us
Alanis Morissette, which was our number one answer, worth 37 points.
Well, wow.
Look at that.
I was so impressed that you were able to pull that out. Good job.
I was
it a Chico stick? Anyways.
That was a big hug.
Matt, you gave us Stan, which maybe appeared on the show, but did not appear on the show.
I was trying to lead you to Barf. His name is Barf.
I mean
Barth with a TH. Barth, Barf, what's the difference?
So I wasn't a big fan of the show. I just remember the slamming and Alanis. Good job, Alex.
Thank you.
Matt is now 14 points behind.
So Alex has taken the lead. Ooh. Well done. There's all kinds of weird answers for this one. Honorable mentions go to Alanis Morissette, Emmanuel Lewis, Justin Timberlake, quote, that Canadian girl with the curly hair, and the most you can't do that on television answer ever is, I don't know. If you're playing at home and gave this answer, be sure to take 1 point away from your score. Question three was, choose one word to describe Taco Bell in the 80s.
Alex, you gave us awesome, which did not make the survey. It was worth 0 points.
In fairness to you, though, Alex, in the 80s, Taco Bell was way more awesome than it is today.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And then Matt, you gave us cheap, which was the number one answer with 25 points. Alex is now 9 points behind. So we are.
Oh, dang.
Neck and neck.
Worthy opponent.
Many honorable mentions for this one, as you might expect. But top 10 shout outs go out to, in quotes, the word cleansing. And then we had. And finally, we had hyphenated. So it's one word. Taco Hell.
Yeah. I still call it that. Or taco smell.
That was another one, yeah. We had smell taco where I'm from.
Yeah, with the French fries.
Yeah, yeah. Ooh, so good. I want some now.
Yeah.
Question four was, name an actor who played a cop in an 80s movie.
Alex, you gave us Eddie Murphy, our number one answer, worth 35 points.
Woo!
And Matt, you gave us Peter Weller, worth 13 points.
Hey, on the board, though.
Wow.
Good job, Matt. Good job, Matt.
Now Matt is 11 points behind.
Oh, no.
Shout outs for this one goes to Heather Locklear and Bubba Smith as cops in the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
It's a shame that those two never got it to team up for a buddy cop flick. I think I watched that one.
Oh, heck yeah.
And it all comes down to our final question, which was, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much did you like the band Rush?
Oh, no.
Alex, you gave us 0. That was worth 25 points.
Oh, man. Dang it.
So Matt needs 37 points to win.
Leave it to Gen Xers to say, on a scale of 1 to 10, and they answer with 0.
No doubt. Oh, my God.
37 points behind. But let's see what Gen X said.
Survey said.
Matt, you gave us 9, which was only worth 4 points.
Oh, man. What kind of loser likes Rush?
Which means, Alex, congratulations. You won the game. And you are doing your part to save Generation X. Well done.
Yay.
Good job, sister. Wow.
Thank you. Awesome. Thank you, Maddie.
Yeah.
And just for the record, 0 or 1 was our number one answer. Well done.
Hey, I liked Rush. Come on, give him a break.
Hey, I like what you're saying there.
Unfortunately, Matt, that means that you've lost this episode. I'm sorry things did not go quite your way on the show, but did you have a good time anyway?
Of course, it was amazing. Thank you very much for having me on the show. It was a lot of fun, even though I lost.
You're a great contestant. Thanks for playing.
Thank you.
For winning the game, I offer a chance of a prize by me placing bids on my eBay watch list on the winner's behalf. I will place multiple bids on the listing chosen in secret by Matt until I'm the high bidder. And if that bid holds up until the end of the auction, then I will buy this item for Alex and have it shipped out to her. Good luck. Let's take a look at all the prizes that Matt had to choose from and then reveal what was chosen. So this is kind of an interesting situation where the person who didn't win the game picks the prize, but the winner is stuck with whatever the loser has picked.
Oh, you're going to love it.
I bet.
So last episode, we told you about this awesome artist that we found on eBay that does these fun hand paintings of various Gen X pop culture characters. Today, we bring you a painting of her Rosie from the Jetsons, the slave robot that we're all waiting to have today. Listeners, if you're interested in this artwork, I don't know this person personally. I never met her. I've emailed her just to let her know that I like her stuff. She's kind of become the unofficial pop artist of the podcast, even though she doesn't know it. That's how unofficial it is. She doesn't even know that she's our official artist. But it's her eBay name handle is, I'll just spell it out, SUZANNFOSET-5. So that should be easy for all of you listening to remember. But it's Suzanne Foster is her name, and you can find her on eBay. Check her out. The next item in the prize vault is to honor the Princess Bride. We offer this 10-inch analog clock that features a scene from the movie on its clock face. It's the perfect piece of memorabilia that you would have never thought you have ever wanted to want. And therefore, it's perfect for our prize vault. Next, do you remember those really weird novelty canvas-backed headrest things that looked like a director's chair? They serve no other purpose than to just rest your head on it.
It looks do like you a remember those?
You
I don't remember
things?
Those. No, I'm laughing that she knows because I don't remember those.
They're the dumbest thing ever. They serve like no. They look like a broken director's chair is what they look like. They're pointless and they're dumb. But they're also in today's prize vault. So we got that going for us. Okay, here's the big one. To honor the ugly dress in Pretty in Pink tonight, we offer this equally ugly prom dress that you can own for yourself.
It's a nice women. Yeah. Nice.
There were a lot of these on eBay. Surprisingly, a ton of these dresses available on eBay.
Is it, Alex, are you selling your old prom dress on eBay?
You know. He got
so
me.
It's pink. It's listed as an unknown material made from.
Oh my god!
But it is handmade and hand sewn. It's got this giant pink bow on the front, and you know, if you think that the Pretty in Pink prom dress looked like curtains because she made them from curtains, it doesn't help that this option has the dress up against the window, and it literally looks like window curtains.
Curtains, yeah. It's see-through, too.
It's see-through. It's like a prom dress. See-through prom dress is ridiculous, but it could be yours. Guys, did you know that there are people out there who actually collect vintage soaps? We could not find any liquid palm olive, but we did find this vintage green bar of palm olive from 1970 still in its unopened package. Unfortunately, the only way you'll be soaking in this is if it's disintegrated inside that package by now.
Nice.
And this last one, here's a trigger warning. This one's gross. Some lunatic put on eBay a dried booger that looks like a Klingon bird of prey. It's super gross and inappropriate for the high standards on eBay. But in his defense, it sure does look like the Klingon bird of prey from Star Trek 3 and 4. And oh, it's only $5 shipping.
Are they going to leave it clinging onto the wall?
Ah, I see what you did there. Yeah, it does look like it's on the wall, doesn't it? Like, are they going to cut out the drywall and like...
I think they should. They should. But they're probably going to bump the price up a couple of bucks.
Okay, Matt, please tell us what item you picked and why.
I picked Rosie, the slave robot from the Jetsons. And I picked it because our Roomba, that's her name. We named her Rosie. The kids named her Rosie. Rosie the robot. But yeah, and she's a really cool artist. And I think now she's probably going to be the token artist for your show.
Well, let's bid her up and see if we can win this one. Hey, what do you know? We are the top bidder at $6 and $1 shipping. You see, that's how you do it, folks. You charge $1 shipping for a canvas art. The Klingon dude's paying $5 for shipping.
For a booger.
I'm so happy you didn't pick the booger.
Wait a minute. I saw what you did.
Well, you know, Alex, that he was trying his best because if a little brother was playing against an older sister and knew he was going to lose, then you definitely would have gotten the booger.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
If this bid holds up until the end of the auction, then I'll ship it out to you, Alex. Good luck.
Excellent. Thank you.
Hey, guys, you got any shout outs or things you'd like to plug here on the show?
I'd like to give a shout out to my little brother, Ozzy, for inviting me on the show, which I never would have even known about if it were not for him. I had an amazing time. Thank you.
We had a great time having you, Alex. Thanks so much. Matt, thank anything you. To plug or shout out?
Yeah, I want to plug. So my wife's the principal here in Warrensburg, Missouri. And this year they're starting a new school. It's called Gateway. So this goes out to my wife and all her awesome kids that she loves and teaches every day and goes out of her way to do more than I've ever seen any principal go out of their way to do for somebody. So way to go, Susanna.
Nice. Is there a Gen X movie where the principal is like a good guy? Or are they always like that dude from
like back Rooney?
In the future? Yeah, or Rooney.
Bueller.
Yeah, Rooney. Rooney.
I think maybe Gen X has broken the generational curse of crappy principals.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Shout out to your wife.
Yes, sir.
I have one shout out I'd like to give. I'd like to give an overdue shout out to Ed S. in South Royalton, Vermont. Ed, we've tried to contact you via email several times to give you your Patreon rewards, but the email keeps getting returned to us for some unknown reason. So we hope you don't feel forgotten. But we want you to know that there's an issue with your email address that you gave us. Perhaps it's your burner email account that you also used to set up your AARP account. So in any case, we wanted to say publicly, thank you. We appreciate you for helping us make our dreams come a little bit closer to reality by making this podcast a full-time gig and bringing new episodes more frequently. Ed, here's a sound clip in your honor that we hope you especially like.
But you're going to pay it or else.
Or else what?
Tell him, Vinny.
Or else pizza is gonna send out for you. You're delicious.
Ciao, boys.
Thank you for checking out the show. We know you have a plethora of choices for your podcasting enjoyment, and it is simply amazing that you chose to spend a little time on our show. Thank you. If you like what we're doing here and you'd like to contribute directly to the show, we have a Patreon account set up at patreon.com/whowillsavegenx. At our Patreon site, you'll see special offers for becoming a contributor to the show, so take advantage of those if you are interested. If you'd like, you can head over to whowillsavegenx.com to learn all about all the ways you can do your part to save Gen X from being forgotten. But if you're feeling like a slacker at the moment, you can just email me, and I promise to write you back with all the details you could ever want. You can reach me or any of the judges at whowillsavegenx@gmail.com. In either case, thanks so much for listening. Well, that's it for this episode. Thanks again for checking out the show. We welcome you to share this episode with that special Gen Xer in your life and subscribe to the show for future episodes where we will once again ask the question, who will save Generation X? Later. And now, Who Will Save Generation X presents Out of Context Theater. Hope Matt doesn't hate me when he hears this episode.
It sounds like a Monty Python movie to me.
Nah, you know, there's probably something else on, like He-Man or something.
Strangely specific.
Gloria Estefan and the Miami Sound Machine.
The Kirkland brand of Transformers.
I'm so happy you didn't pick the booger.
She has a name, and it's Leather Tuscadero.
I still call it that.
Some might say it's a fun fact.
She was such a jackass.
Blank in my eyes, Matt.
He's got a tattoo of Roy Orbison on his butt.
Or is it E-I-B-S?
Oh, no. What did you do?
Cleansing.
But for now, rest well and dream of large women.
Mind your own business, Madge.
You can do it.
E.T.'s glowing parts.
For one, I'm going to go home and sleep with my wife.
Soaking.
He banged on it. Millennial, no.
Okay. Our timers work, Matt. They count down.
Oh, dude.
His name was Vomit.
You're soaking in.
I'm going to get my ass kicked on this game.
The Chinese oboe.
What kind of loser likes Rush?
I lied.
Then what exactly do he do?
Sit on it, Arnold.
I was.
Oh, boy. British people.
Sweet tarts.
That Canadian girl with the curly hair.
I swear to God, I brain farted just now.
See ya. Hope you don't die.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.